you're serious about getting to the next level, he can get you there.
Gary teaches in a way that the concepts he's presenting stay with you for a lifetime. You will not forget them.
Gary's program will get you to believe in yourself by not just telling you that you can do it. What it does for you is it tells you how you can do it.
Anybody can listen to Gary and what he has to say, and they can walk away with something that can really make them have a positive change in their life.
Your thinking is going to change to, I know I can do this. I know I can reach my goals. I know I can have my dreams.
If you establish goals, they will help you establish a roadmap to achieve those goals. And lastly, once you've achieved those goals, it'll give you the self-confidence to go forward and do it as many times as necessary.
Because it will change your life.
Welcome to another in a series of peak performance programs by personal growth expert and life strategist, Gary Cox, Mastering the Art of Follow-Through. This program was designed as a 12-week course. Gary was hired to assist a company not only in setting their goals, but more importantly, in following through on them. This exciting program will actually teach you those techniques that Gary shared with them and much more. And best of all, you don't have to pay the thousands of dollars that companies invest to hire him. Undoubtedly, one of Gary's strengths is his ability in assisting people to make very quick changes and perform at their highest level possible by making following through a habit. You'll see how he does it. It's now time to listen in to Mastering the Art of Follow-Through.
Hi, this is Gary Cox, and I'm coming to you live from our Florida studios. Now, before you get to listen in on this powerful 12-week course or sessions, I wanted to go over a number of things with you to ensure that you get the most from this series. Throughout this entire program, I'll be interjecting additional thoughts from the studio, like I'm doing now, which was not included in this 12-week conference call series. We'll be going back and forth from the call to here in the studio. So when you hear this beep, that simply means that we're going from the conference call back here live to the studio. A majority of all the people listening to this call are those who are in business for themselves. So once in a while, you'll hear me relate to ideas about reaching goals for entrepreneurs, especially in session one. For example, the question comes up in a very short segment about how much do you believe in your products or services? Well, if you don't have any products or services, it won't apply to you, so don't worry about it. If your goals are non-business or non-sales related, that's okay. I can promise you, though, that this series will certainly suit your needs no matter what your goals are. The principles shared in this program will assist you in any avenue of life that you care to follow through with. Perhaps the greatest advantage that you're going to have over all the many people from all over the world who listen into these calls is that you received a workbook with your program. You might want to get that now. As you look through your workbook, you'll note that it's basically divided into 12 sessions. These calls were conducted over 12 consecutive weeks. Don't feel that you're limited to doing one session per week. If you can do more than that, go for it. Waiting a week, though, before each session may give you enough time to master what you've learned from the previous week. It's entirely up to you. You'll need to follow along with your workbook if you are to maximize your results from this program. Often, you'll hear me tell the listeners on the call to fill in the blanks from the information that they printed from the website. Ignore this. This doesn't pertain to you. When I tell them to fill in the blanks from what they've printed, that's your cue to go in your workbook and fill in the blanks there. The corporation who hired me to conduct these calls had their members retrieve some of the pages in your workbook from their website, or the business center as they call it. You'll also find much more information in your workbook than what they got on the call. This was due to the time restraints that were placed on each phone session. So keep your workbook handy, and it will be very obvious to you when you need it for each session. Here's another added value to this program that you'll receive in comparison to the listeners on these calls. I invited the participants to send me questions that pertain to each week's session. Then I selected just a few and answered their questions. So you'll get to hear some of these interviews as I had the privilege of working with them individually. So now let's listen in and learn more about mastering the art of follow-through.
I must say I am very excited about this, and I'm really looking forward to this. On my part, I'll tell you, it's going to be a lot of hard work. We're going to put a lot of time and effort into this. But the bottom line is to get results for all of you that are listening. So let's go ahead and get started. You know, what's interesting about this program is if you were to ask me, what is the seventh lesson or the seventh week going to be about? Honestly, my answer would be I don't know. Let me tell you why. What we've done here is we've actually created this program in such a way where we're actually going to ask some feedback from all of you that are listening. We want to get your questions. We want to get what you're thinking. And then we're going to get the trend of all these emails that we're going to get from you. And we're going to create the next session based on those emails. And then the next session based on the next emails and so on and so forth. So we're really going to be customizing this information. Let's talk about a little bit of what you can expect in this program over the next 12 sessions or so. Number one, we're going to focus a lot on goal setting, obviously. But goal setting, when you think about it, really in itself is quite simplistic. When I say quite simplistic, the process of knowing what to do is really not that complicated. The problem comes, though, if it is not so complicated and relatively simple, why is it so hard to consistently follow through on the goals? That's really where the challenge is. It's the inability to take consistent action. And why does that happen? Well, that happens usually because we get discouraged, or maybe we have some unreasonable expectations for whatever reason. Here's an interesting group of words for you. How about we become irrationally optimistic sometimes? And we're going to be talking about what irrational optimism means and how it can affect you and prevent you from attaining your goals. What we're going to focus on in this entire program is over the next 12 weeks, we're actually going to divide this program into two parts. The first part is actually the goal setting part. The key is, though, we've got to go more than just goal setting, and let me explain again why. If it was just all we had to do was set goals, we would all be able to go through the process that I'm going to be sharing with you over the next 12 weeks. Once we go over the process, everybody should be able to implement the process and attain their goals. Well, you know as well as I do, it's not that easy. So it takes more than just goal setting to make it happen. The thrust of this entire series is to really get everybody to really push themselves and move over to that next level. But as I'm putting this program together, I'm thinking, okay, I can show everybody the process on setting the goals. But goal setting isn't enough. Example, if you had a meal that you were putting together and you're creating this meal by a recipe, and in that recipe it calls for salt. Usually for most recipes, when it calls for salt, it doesn't call for a lot of salt. It just calls for maybe a quarter of a teaspoon, nothing major. But if you forget to put that salt in, it really makes the entire meal bland. And just a little bit of that salt can really add to that meal and give a tremendous amount of flavor. Well, goal setting is the same thing. Goal setting is very important, but it is just a small process in the entire success process. So I figured, okay, let's talk about the goal setting process, but we need to go to the next part, the second part, and that's the mental process or the mental part. So we're going to discuss both of those in great details, because what good is it to set goals if we have a lot of psychological or mental blocks? So we need to also hone in on those mental blocks. In fact, I think it's important first to master and understand those mental blocks and change them before we actually get into the goal setting process. So this session today is going to focus a lot on really honestly making an analysis of yourself to find out what our strengths are and what our weaknesses are. So we're going to be doing that later on. I think you'll enjoy that. That'll be a lot of fun. This program, basically, I guess you could say, is cross-training for the mind. So we're not only going to talk about the goal-setting part, but we're also going to talk about the mental part, the part that we have to really tune in and tighten and polish so we can be consistent toward our goals. Now, you'll find this information will be very applicable to the novice, for those of you who are just getting started, and it's also going to be very applicable for those of you who are very experienced. For those of you who are very experienced, you'll be able, I think, hopefully learn some new interesting techniques and strategies, and perhaps more importantly, you'll have a whole handful of techniques and strategies that you'll be able to share with people that you bring in, that you teach, and that you mentor. Let's talk about some more things that you can plan to get from this program. I'm going to share with you a term that we'll be talking about later through this entire series called imaginary motivation. What is imaginary motivation? Well, I won't get into it in a lot of detail. We'll just give you a little clue about it. Then we'll get into it later on as we go throughout our sessions over the next 12 weeks. Imaginary motivation, once you learn to master imaginary motivation, what it will do, it will instantly help you or force you to come up with consistent plans of actions toward attaining your goals. And here's why we need this. As we work toward our goals, unfortunately at times, and it's just part of being human, we get to a plateau. And I know you've experienced it before because I've certainly experienced it. You get to a certain point, you get all excited, you get to a certain level, and then you just level out. For example, some of you have been at certain levels for maybe 3 to 5 years. And if you really say that you have a goal to get to that next level, and you're at the level you're at now for 3 to 5 years, something is wrong. Something is not clicking. Some circuitry is missing. And hopefully this 12th session is going to help you put some of that circuitry together. You might have to deal with complacency. You get to a certain level, you're doing very well. You're making great money. You know, you got all the nice things that you've been working for all these years. But you still have at the point where you've reached a plateau. You've also become complacent. So imaginary motivation is going to be able to show you how to put it in the second gear, third gear, and keep going. And more importantly, it's going to make it very easy for you to create the plan of action that you're going to have to implement to get out of that plateau or that complacency. So I think you'll enjoy that. A lot of things that I'm going to share with you are going to be dealing with the nervous system. If any of you have ever seen me do any of my programs live, you'll know that one of the things that I like to do is take somebody from the audience who has an incredible psychological limitation, and I like to, without hypnosis, completely reprogram their thought process. It's a very, very powerful thing to watch. And one of the reasons that I'm able to do this quite quickly, in other words, I can do sometimes in an hour what a therapist literally can't do in a year, is because I teach the person how to train the nervous system. So we're going to take some time in these 12 sessions to understand the nervous system and how to use it. For example, the nervous system cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. Here's one of the things that you can use to really hone in and take advantage of your nervous system. You've heard this before. You've heard that it's important to visualize. That's good, but I think that's too simple. We've heard, yes, you know, see your goals, visualize your goals. It's important to do that, and I agree with that 100%. But there's so much more that we can do than just simply visualizing, that we can really take advantage of the nervous system to get us excited, to get us motivated. Because if you're not excited and motivated and you have that plateau where, you know, you're just kind of coasting along anymore and you don't have that drive, you're burned out, or you have so many other responsibilities, you've got family, you've got the other job, you've got children, you know what it's like. No one has to tell you that. So we're going to learn to understand how to master that nervous system and go well beyond visualization, and you'll see that technique is a lot of fun and really, really enjoyable. And I'll share with you how I use these techniques to this day and how I've used these techniques in the past to get to where I'm at, and I think you'll enjoy that. That'll be a lot of fun. Another thing that we're going to talk about too is the importance of rewarding yourself and your family. You know, often a lot of people ask me a question with regards to rewarding yourself. When should we do it? How should we do it? And here's the catcher for you. What if you're new and you don't have enough money? You've put in a lot of your money into the business, you've invested it, and you don't have a lot of money. How do you reward yourself then? And why is that important? Because if you don't reward yourself, you're going to get burned out. And I remember when I was in my second business, when I was a teenager, I literally, and stupidly if you will, went 5 years without taking a vacation, without rewarding myself. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you why that's not the smart thing to do and how to break that pattern, whether you have money or not. I think you'll find a lot of these processes very, very intriguing, very interesting, and that's just the tip of the iceberg of some of the things that we're going to be talking about. So yes, goal setting in itself is simplistic. What it amounts to is basically identifying something that you wish to accomplish, and the bottom line is you're not going to stop till you get there. But that's the challenge. We often do stop before we get there, or we slow down, maybe throw in the towel. So that's the part that we want to focus on a little bit this evening. Before this first session, we had the opportunity of asking a number of you to email us some of your thoughts and questions. some of the things that might slow you down and prevent you from getting to the next level. So that you know, any one of you who decide to email us some of your questions and some of your thoughts and ideas and what have you, I will not be using your first and last names. I will just be using your first name. So don't feel that I'm going to divulge all these personal things about you. So if you want to send us something, do that. And we're just going to use your first name. If you don't want us to even do that, just tell us what your first name is and say, hey, use my initials. But here are some of the things that some of you are experiencing. And I think all of us are going to be able to relate to some of the information that I'm going to share with you from some of the emails. Notice everything that I share with you this evening from these emails, from some of the emails that we have gotten recently, are all about mental blocks. These are things that are preventing us from going forward to attaining that goal, whatever that goal may be. So I think that's why it's so important to deal with the psychological or the mental aspect of things first, because you know, if we know what our goals are and we have them written down and we have a nice strategy to implement to make them happen, but we have these mental blocks, what good is having the plan and the goal? We're not going to be able to follow through with it. Here's an email from Judy. Poor Judy, she just recently lost her husband about 6 months ago. She's got a very intensive farmhouse with acreage. Takes about 40 to 80 hours of her time every week. She also wants to devote time to her business. She wants to spend time developing herself spiritually, and she puts down how many hours a week she wants to devote or is devoting to that. She has family, personal education. She wants to learn a new language. Her question is, what can I do to assure that I plan myself, everything that I do, I plan it regularly and correctly in order to accomplish all my goals in the allotted times? What steps should I take, and what habits should I create or break? So we're going to talk about how we would deal with things like this. And you're going to find with me, I don't, you know, tickle your ears. I'm going to tell you like it is. Sometimes you're not going to like to hear it. But the bottom line is, I would rather you know the specific strategies and the reasons why that you're not getting to the next level, just as much as you'd like to know why you're doing what you're doing to get yourself to the next level. You want to know both those. So I'm not going to tickle anybody's ears. I'm going to tell you like it is, because my bottom line is, I am here to assist you to get results. And if you're not getting results, what good is the program? Another email from a guy named Mark. In the past, I had the drive to build my business, and then for personal reasons, he lost what he built. How do you get back that motivation and passion to start over again? That's a challenge, because I've lost everything that I've had, and I'll share that with you later on. And, you know, you get a lot of fears. You get a lot of fears of maybe fear of failure. And, you know, I started all this, and I lost it all, and now I'm going to start this all over again. Interesting thing. Again, another mental block. Here's an email from Earl. He says he's been in the business for about a month. He's only made one sale, comes up to about $25. His mentor's telling him he's doing okay, but things will get a lot better. How does he prevent himself from being discouraged? Here's a typical example. I can give Earl all the goal-setting steps and strategies, but if he's discouraged, he's not going to be able to get up, walk toward those strategies, and keep going forward. So we have to deal with the mental block. Here's another one. Every time I get to a certain level of success, I seem to self-sabotage myself. Do this or I'll do that. How do we eliminate that self-sabotaging thing so we can keep going toward our dreams? There's another mental block again. We've got to learn to tap into that. Here's a person, Sonia, has a fear of success. She believes that she's limiting her ability to go forward because there's a lot of other issues mentally in her mind. She wants to know how to shut those issues off so she can go forward. Again, another mental block. We'll go through three others real quickly. Here's an individual, John. He's a master at managing time at his full-time job. When he gets to running his business on the part-time level, boom, he drops the ball. Here's a person who's excited about their business, Lori, but when she starts talking to people, she freezes. So here's Lori. You give her all the goals in the world. You give her the strategy, but she freezes when she talks to people. Not sure if she's saying the right thing. Again, another mental block. Terry, on the last one, got some issues with kids at home, teenage kids. Frustrated, she's not getting enough support from any of her upline, doesn't seem to have active upline more than anything. I don't think it's that she's not getting support, she just doesn't have a lot of active upline, and that's challenging. So for her, she kind of feels like maybe she's just all by herself, and then she's trying to explain to others her situation, but she doesn't want to sound like she's making excuses. Again, friends, these are just a sample of the things that we're going to be talking about. And remember, these are the mental blocks. So here's what we're going to do. Let's take some time and do some analysis on ourselves.
It's time to get your workbook out and go to session one and follow the instructions on the call. Again, where I tell the listeners to get the information they printed off the website or their business center, that's your cue to use your workbook. So now let's listen in, and I'll get back to you from the studio very soon.
Hopefully, most of you have had the opportunity to print this information from your computer by going to the business center. If you've done that, you want to go ahead and pull that piece of paper out in front of you now. And this is what we're going to talk about. That piece of paper basically says, make an honest analysis of yourself. And we're going to grade ourselves 1 through 10. 10 is the highest or the best. Let's talk about why this is so important. The most important thing with doing all this, it helps you see where you are at or where you're not at. But here's the challenge, though. Notice what I have written here. I've got here, make an honest analysis of yourself. Friends, you've got to be honest when you make this analysis. When you grade yourself 1 through 10, you've got to be incredibly honest. Remember this. And if you're taking notes, I strongly suggest you write this down. If you're not taking notes, I strongly suggest you write this down. And if you don't want to take notes, I strongly suggest that you remember this. You cannot change what you do not acknowledge, period. Let me repeat that. You cannot change what you do not acknowledge. To acknowledge something, you have to be honest and open with yourself. That is the only way you're going to be able to make change and grow. Bottom line, the point I'm making here is when you're ready to make an evaluation of yourself, before you write that number down, stop and think, am I making a real honest evaluation of this? For that matter, if you have a spouse or a friend with you on this, or maybe after this session, you can ask them for their honest opinion. They may be more realistic than you. So the bottom line, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. So let's see if we can acknowledge some things today. All right, here we go. The first one is how much of them, we've got to fill in the blank there, and I'm going to give you the answers. How much of a never-give-up attitude do I possess? Good question. How much of a never-give-up attitude do I possess? Now, what we're looking for is we're looking for trends. And if we have specific trends, let's say that your answer to this, you're honestly evaluating yourself, is a 3. Well, if you've got a lot of 3s on this list, all the goal-setting strategies in the world is not going to help you until we master that 3 and get that 3 to a 6 and a 7 and 8 and 9 or a 10. That's why we don't want to put the cart before the horse. And that's why we want to take this evaluation first and understand this. And once we have this completed, I'll tell you what to do with it in preparation for our next session. All right, so how much of a never-give-up attitude do I possess? Do you easily throw in the towel? Even in little things, not just business, you're trying to fix something in the car or you're trying to look for something. You just throw in the towel and give up? Or do you really go forward and keep looking and keep working for the answer? Or maybe you do have a 3 as an answer or a 1, but you have kids and you just constantly preaching to your kids, don't give up, keep looking, no, keep going. See, we lack integrity there. Let's go to the next one. When I fail, F-A-I-L. Now, I use that word very loosely, all right? That can be just a perception. But when I fail or perceive that I failed, how quick do I recover to get back up? All right? Number one, I hope you do get back up, but how long do you wait to get back up? So how would you answer that? 10 if you are a type of person that can jump right back up. If you don't jump up too well, maybe it's a 3 or a 4. Be honest. Let's go to the next one. Here's a good one. How much do I believe in my ability to succeed? That's a powerful one. How much do I believe in my ability to succeed? See, if you have a 3 there or a 2, again, all the goal-setting strategies are not going to get you anywhere. We've got to master this information first. So make an honest evaluation. That's the next one. How much do I believe in my product or services? Let's analyze that. 1 through 10. If it's a 10, great. If it's a 5, be honest. Put it down. It may not be great, but be honest. You'll only cheat yourself if you don't have a good, honest analysis here. Let's go to the next one. Grade my ability to delay instant gratification. That's an interesting one. If you can delay instant gratification, put a 10. And we'll talk about what that means in just a little bit. And we're going to really expand on all this information throughout the 12-week process. So grade my ability to delay instant gratification. Are you the type of person that you're really looking for a get-rich-quick scheme? And you're just jumping in here thinking that you're going to be successful in 3 months and 6 months? You talk to the top leaders in your industry, they've been in it a lot longer than 3 to 6 months. Do you have that tendency? You want it now, 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 now. Because if you do, you might not be willing to pay the price to hang in there long enough to get the rewards in the future. So something to think about. Let's go to the next one. How much control do I have over external stimuli? How much control do I have over external stimuli? Grade yourself. Let's talk about that. What does that mean? Are you easily influenced by other people or other things? Example. And you want to be honest with this one because this is a tough one. You've never been in the business before. You all of a sudden you're in business now. You start to talk to people and you get some of these things called no's. You know what they're like. You get a no, you get a no. Then you get other people say, look, why don't you stick with a real job? You don't know anything about business. This is a scam. This is ridiculous. What are you doing? And if you are allowing that information to feed your mind, what's going to happen to your drive and your enthusiasm? It's going to dive down. Now, if you're the type of person who's strong enough to handle that external stimuli, you want to put a high number on there. I'll be very honest with you. When I got started in my business, I did not handle external stimuli very well. And I'm going to share with you later on, because I was unable to handle external stimuli because I was so easily influenced by people telling me, why don't you get a real job? Why are you putting yourself through this? That I had to actually shut some of these people off for a certain amount of time. So I'm going to talk to you and share with you how I did that and my purpose for doing that. And I would have admitted it. If I would have looked at this, 10 years ago, I would have probably put maybe a 3 or 4 on there. So these are things that can be changed, but we've got to be honest first. Let's go to the next one. How much am I not prone to rejection? How much am I not prone to rejection? In other words, if the rejection doesn't bother you, put an 8, 9, or a 10. This is a powerful one because if you're going to set your goals and you have a hard time taking a no from people, how are you going to find it inside of you, if you will, the drive to keep going toward your goals? We're not going to be able to do that if we are prone to rejection. The next one, how much do I allow my past to prevent me from going forward? That's a powerful one. How much do I allow my past to prevent me from going forward? Are you the type of person that uses excuses of your past? Well, I got a divorce and I lost all my money, or this happened to me, or that happened to me, and somebody died, or I lost my business. I'm not minimizing those tragedies by any means. But let me explain to you my story if you haven't heard it, just to let you know we cannot use this as an excuse. When I was 17 years old, I got married very early, was making a lot of money, and all of a sudden things changed. My wife and I, we have a baby. Later on, she tells me the baby isn't mine. Real story, true story, painful one. Time frame of all this, my father was murdered. Grandfather and stepfather died of cancer. Uncle was killed in a plane crash. I had $100,000 business as a teenager, lost all that. I had $30,000 cash in the bank, lost all that. And all this by the time I was 21 years of age. That's pretty rough to handle. I'm going to be honest with you. And you be honest with me. If I were to say to you the reason I gave up was because my wife had a baby by somebody else, whose fault would that have been if I gave up? My ex-wife or my fault? Be honest with me. It's what? It's my fault. That's a choice. If I said to you, but wait a minute, my father was murdered, that's why I can't go forward. Do you buy that or is that an excuse? I'll take it. Be honest with me. Call a spade, it's an excuse. So the key is yes, we all have stories. And we all have tragedies, we all have things in our past, but the key is, be honest with yourself, are you allowing these things to prevent you from going forward? Make an honest evaluation of that. Here's the next one. How much do I enjoy helping other people? How much do I enjoy helping other people? That is a good question, and I'll tell you why. If you're in this for the money, people will see right through you. And there's some people that you will attract because they're going to get into it for the same reason, but a lot of those people usually don't last very long. The people who are successful in this type of business are the people that do have a desire to help other people. And it comes through when they're sitting there talking to people, sharing them their products, their story, and that enthusiasm is contagious. So that's important. Make an analysis on that for yourself, a 1 through 10. Here's another good one. How effective am I as a communicator? How effective am I as a communicator? Now, when I say a communicator, I'm not talking about your ability or inability to articulate your words and verbalize certain messages to people. Yes, that is important. And by the way, if you have to ask yourself the question and say, well, am I an effective communicator? It's probably a good sign that you're not. But I'm also talking about, as you're communicating with people, are you able to read them? For example, you're a poor communicator if you don't understand that God created you with two ears and one mouth. So that's probably why we should listen twice as much as we talk. And unfortunately, I see some people, they're sharing their product or their idea or their service, and they just go on and on and on and on. And they're not looking at the person and trying to read them, as that person is giving them the body language that's saying, get to the point, get to the point, get to the point. So these are some things that we need to learn to master to continue to be successful. On to the next one. How much do I truly feel I deserve it? That's a good question. And you have to define what it is. Success, however you want to define it. How much do you truly feel that you deserve it? See, some people don't deserve it in their minds. They feel that they don't deserve it. And if they don't deserve it, where are they going to get the tenacity to work toward their goals to make $100,000 if they don't feel they deserve it? That is why we have to make this analysis and learn to master this information before we get any further. Let's go to the next one. And by the way, you can take this information here, and when you're bringing somebody into the business, this would be a good thing to go over with them, because you're going to start seeing some of their patterns and some of the things that you can assist them on so we don't lose them in a couple weeks or in a couple months. All right, let's go to the next one. How much am I willing to pay the price? Boy, that's a good one. We're going to spend a good amount of time on this throughout our 12-week process here. How much am I willing to pay the price? Now, you can't put down a 10 if you don't know what the price is. So before you answer this one, you might want to wait till tomorrow or think about it overnight. You cannot really answer this one honestly if you haven't determined what the price is that you're wanting to pay or going to have to pay. Always remember, anything in life that you want to get, you have to give something up. It's a trade-off. Anything in life that you want to get, you've got to give something up. So how much are you willing to give up, if you will? How much of the price are you willing to pay? Let's go to the next one. The next two are probably one of the highest, if you will, of reasons, or the most common reasons, that people fail to succeed. How well do I handle the fear of failure? That's a good question. If you can handle it very well, put a 10. If it's not very well, it's a 0, 2, 3, or 4. So how well do you handle the fear of failure? See, a lot of people won't go forward because they're afraid they may fail. They're afraid of the what ifs as opposed to the possibilities. So if that's not dealt with, all the goal-setting processes in the world are not going to get them to the next level. All right, the next one, kind of similar a little bit, but just on the opposite, how well do I handle the fear of success? This was a challenge for me because I felt very uncomfortable. Every time I got to a certain level of financial success, I would feel very uncomfortable, and I would start feeling awkward about it. And I would think about ways that I might want to sabotage my success. And as I would get to these new levels, my thought process would have to start adjusting to these new levels of success, because the more successful you become, some people think it's incredibly easy. Well, there's certain things that are easier. When you have problems, yes, you can write a check for it and solve a problem or pay other people to do it, but it doesn't mean your problems go away. You just have a whole new set of problems. And if you don't believe me, find somebody who's very successful financially and ask them, and they will tell you definitely beyond a shadow of a doubt that what I'm saying is correct. But if you do have a fear of success, it will stop you from attaining your goals. It will stop you from following through on that goal-setting process that we're going to be focusing on. Here's another interesting one. We've got two more to go, and we can add more to this also, by the way, And on top of that, if you have other things that you think you should add on here, or maybe a spouse, something they think you should add on there, I would, you know, exercise a measure of humility and get them to put that information down. It's only going to help you. So the next one is, I am not easily sidetracked. If you're not easily sidetracked, put a 10 down. What do we mean by easily sidetracked? Well, you get excited about the business and you start working the business. You start getting some rejection. You start getting the no's. And all of a sudden now, you're starting to think twice about things. Maybe that external stimuli is taking effect. Who knows? Whatever the reason. And then you start looking for something else, or somebody shares some other idea with you, and then you kind of jump to that, and then you're back over here, and you're back and forth and back and forth. In other words, you're never like a stamp sticking to one thing. You cannot be successful in anything, or continue to be successful in anything, if you allow yourself to get sidetracked. And there's several ways we can get sidetracked. You can get sidetracked with negative emotions, and you can get sidetracked with what? Positive emotions. I've seen people, they'll make a deal, they'll make a sale, and they got to call everybody in the world, they have to have a party, and the party lasts 5 days, whatever. And whether they realize it or not, they've allowed something positive, which is a great thing, but they've allowed something positive to sidetrack them. And this is where the focus comes in. So the key is we've got to learn to work hard and then get sidetracked when we play hard. I'll share with you some examples of how I do that. I work very consistently. For example, yesterday I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning. This morning I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I've been in my office since 6:30. I've already done a speaking engagement with a company today, and I'm going to be here with you, obviously, and I won't probably wrap up till midnight. But you see, I'm very focused, but I allow myself to get sidetracked by going away to the Caribbean for 4 or 5 days, and when I'm there, I vegetate. There's certain ways to do that. So if we're going to get ourselves sidetracked, let's do it at the right time, but we'll talk about how we can do that. Also, the next one is look to others as a leader. Others look at me as a leader. Do they? If that's a 10, put it down. If you think people look at you or you're looked at by others as a leader, put a 10 down. If you don't think they do, then you need to be honest with yourself. Why is this important? You look at anybody, especially in a business that's successful, one key ingredient they have a lot of leadership qualities. So if we're going to really set the world on fire and really go to that next level and the next level and the next level, it's going to be very difficult to do this if we're not a leader. So we're going to talk about leadership. We're going to talk about the identity, if you will, of a leader. What is a true identifying factor or factors of a person who's a true leader, and then what are some of the factors of an individual who's not a leader? Again, if you have other things that you want to add to this list, feel free to do so. It's not going to hurt for you to get with somebody tomorrow or the next day or tonight or whenever and say, hey, did you get on that call? Great. You know me, and I know you. How about we trade off on things? Do you think there's other things that I need to put down that I need to really make an honest analysis of myself? And then do the same for them and put it down and then give yourself an evaluation. Once we've got this evaluation done, what do we do with it? Here's what you want to do with it. You want to look for anything that you've evaluated that has a 6 or less. And what I'd like you to do between now and the next time that we spend some time together, I want you to take anything that's a 6 or less, and I want you to put it on a separate piece of paper. Why? Friends, this paper is the paper that is preventing you psychologically or mentally from attaining your goals.
I'm back in the studio, and I hope you're enjoying the program so far. So how is your evaluation going? Well, by now, I hope you finished page 1 on lesson 1 in your workbook. If you haven't already done that, take some time and stop this CD and do that now. As you can see, I've included 16 different areas in which we can evaluate ourselves. On page 2, I've given you some more room to come up with your own evaluations under the heading, Create More Questions or Statements That Apply to Me Personally and My Goals. Perhaps there are things that I have not included on page 1 that pertains to your specific goals or personal goals and are necessary for you to acknowledge. For example, I haven't included statements like, I have a lot of drive. Giving yourself a 10 for that means that you're way up there. Or, I am not lazy. Giving yourself a 10 here would mean that you're a hard worker, you're not a lazy person. This will obviously take some honest evaluation. Include some statements or questions that you know that you'll score high on and add some that you won't. Those are the ones that you're really going to have to work on. And one of the easiest ways to identify the ones that you'll have to work on is ask someone who knows you pretty well and get them to create some for you. Now, I've given you room to add 4 more on page 2. If you have more than 4, feel free to keep adding them in your workbook. Remember, though, to design your statements or questions so that when you evaluate it, if you were at a 10, that means you've got it mastered. The next step on page 2 is to meet me where it reads, included below are all the statements or questions that I scored a 6 or less. Now let's take the time and discipline yourself to write down each evaluation from page 1, including the new ones that you've just created for yourself that you scored a 6 or less. You'll see to the right of each line where you wrote your statement that there are 3 additional lines. The first line immediately to the right of each statement is where you'll write your present evaluation score. That would be the 6 or less. The other 2 lines to the right of your present evaluation will be to re-evaluate yourself later as you keep progressing throughout the program. Now, you've heard me say this before, and you'll certainly be hearing me say it again and again. All the goals in the world won't become a reality until you master the inside. Friends, page 2 of session 1 is the inside, the mental stuff that must be mastered in order to master the art of follow-through. Make it your goal to aggressively work on this page. It's perhaps the most important page in your entire workbook. So let's say one day you just wake up feeling blah. You've got no drive, lack of focus, whatever. Get into the habit of figuring out why. Why do I feel this way? Now, how do you start doing that? Well, first of all, go to page 2 of session 1. Do this in your workbook and see if you can come up with the answer. Are any of these statements or questions a cause for how you are feeling? Let me share with you something that I think you can really relate to, something that discouraged me. I'd wake up in the morning and get that feeling we're talking about, just feeling blah, you just don't have that umph, don't seem to have any desire to take action toward your goals. You know what I'm talking about, right? But to me, here's what's worse than that. Not knowing why I felt this way, and more importantly, not knowing how to change it. Remember, you can't change it if you don't know why you feel this way. Well, going back to this page in your workbook, when you've lost some of that umph, some of that drive, this should help you identify why you're feeling this way. It's really hard to change those feelings if you don't even know why you feel them. So let's fill in the blank on page 2. Meet me where it begins with, as I have these. Ready? As I have these, fill in the blank, negative feelings. As I have these negative feelings, review this page, fill in the blank with the word page, review this page, and see if I can put my finger on what specifically happened that caused me to intensify or worsen one of these low scoring evaluations. Very good statement here. Let me repeat that. As I have these negative feelings, review this page and see if I can put my finger on what specifically happened that caused me to intensify or worsen one of these low-scoring evaluations. Now let's go to the next statement below this sentence. When you can do this, now you are mastering the ability to cut off future possible distractions that could prevent you from following through on your goals. Let me repeat that. When you can do this, now you are mastering the ability to cut off future possible distractions that could prevent you from following through on your goals. Well, this is just the beginning. We've got a lot more to go. Let's get back to the call.
So as we continue with our sessions, our 12-week process here, as we continue with this and we work on our step-by-step strategies towards setting our goals, at the same time, we want to pull this piece of paper out because these 2 things work together. So what's going to happen is, as you work toward your goals, you're going to feel maybe excited. Hopefully you will. You'll feel excited about working toward these goals. And as you work to them, you're going to start maybe feeling some of that fear of success, or maybe you're going to feel some of that, you know, wow, I have a problem with some failure here. And before you throw in the towel, what you're going to do is you're going to go ahead and go over to this piece of paper, and you're going to say, wait a minute, let me go over some of these things. Let's go over this list. Let me figure out what it is that's honing in on my mind, if you will, that's preventing me from going forward. And you are going to be able to figure this out on your own without having to pay thousands of dollars to hire me. That's the key. I want to give you not just a fish, but I want to show you how to fish. And this will be a great tool that you can use. And then our goal is, when we're done with this entire 12-week process, our goal is to take some of those threes that maybe we evaluated ourselves, and we want to bring them up to fives and six and sevens, and bring some of those sevens up to tens. And that's what we're going to be focusing on through the entire process. And remember, why are we going to do this? Learning how to set goals is simplistic in itself. And if we don't have the mental part set up, we're not going to be able to follow through. So we're going to put that all together. All right. So that basically is going to conclude our first session. I'm not about you, but that went pretty fast. So remember, we're going to do this again next week, and we've got a couple neat things that we're going to offer everybody out there to make this very exciting and make sure you get most, hopefully, if not all of your questions answered through this entire 12-week process.
The offer that we made to make the program more interesting and exciting is that we gave all the listeners the opportunity to write me with their questions with the hopes of having them answered personally, questions that pertain to each session. A few days later, we picked about five winners, and I had the chance or the opportunity to work with them on a private call. So now you're going to hear one of these calls. This call has to do with a lady who at times gets the feeling of being overwhelmed. She's certainly not the only one, that's for sure. If you're new into personal growth, a program like this can be very overwhelming. Let's listen in to see how this question was answered.
I know that this 12-week series on goal setting and the mental process involved with that is going to help me break through this place that I'm in and where I'm feeling stuck. But I know what I can be, and I feel afraid it would not happen again. I also have a sensation of feeling overwhelmed with where and how to start, or I would appreciate it if you would address these issues, either on a private call or what we're going to do tonight. Okay, when you start feeling that way, what I would recommend you do is put down on paper what specifically is it that you're overwhelmed about. And sometimes it's not as bad as we think, because when we get overwhelmed, what usually happens psychologically or mentally is we get all these thoughts flying in midair in our brain. They're just going left and right, all over the place. You know, it's like one of those little money booths that you see on TV where they put you in these booths and the money goes all over the place and you're grabbing like a crazy person trying to get a couple dollars.
Yep.
Well, that's what happens with our thoughts when we get really overwhelmed. But if we would just shut the fan off, the money would just fall to the bottom, we could pick it all up. What you need to do is shut the fan off. And by shutting the fan off, you just take a little breather, get a paper and a pen, and kind of put down some of your thoughts. A lot of times when I feel overwhelmed, it's because I can't grasp on some thoughts. And I think there's a million thoughts going on in there. And the only reason I think that there's a million thoughts going on in there is because I'm not specific as to what those thoughts are. They're just jumbled all over the place. So if I just take a few minutes and I pull some of those thoughts out of my brain, if you will, out of my head and put it on paper, I'll realize it's only five or six of them, but I just didn't have control of them because they were just floating all over the place like that money in that little booth. So if you put that down on paper sometimes, I think you'll start to realize that it's not as bad as we may think it is, because we're just getting too overwhelmed because these thoughts are going all over the place. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And do choices, too many choices also provoke that then?
Absolutely. And what happens is, if you have too many choices and you're not sure exactly what they are, they're still floating around in that booth. So take those choices, put them on paper, and then you're not able to do everything. You've got to focus. So on some of those choices, you may have to say, wait a minute, I've got to pull this back, pull that back. And that's what we're going to talk about a tremendous amount in this whole program, is about how to really set the right priorities. I've got people that say, I want to do this, 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 and this, and this. You can only do so much, and some things you have to put aside. And for me, that's very difficult, because I like new and different things. And I used to want to do this and do this and do that and do this, and I got to the point, I said, look, I've got to stay focused. If not, I'm never going to get anywhere doing anything. When you start getting too many options, you've got to figure out what those priorities are. And we'll talk later on, too, in the sessions as to how to really choose or hone in on the right priorities. And always remember, you've got to give things up to get something. So sometimes you may, once in a while, you'll have to get off just to hear, and you may have to do one of those 7 days a week thing, but you don't want to do it for a full month or 2 or 3, 4 months in a row. Any other comments maybe, Mindy?
No, that really is a big help, and the fact that you're going to get to the choices and prioritizing and fair, because we hear the word distractions a lot.
Yes.
But sometimes we have to deal with those distractions.
Absolutely.
Get them out of the way. So I think when you address that, that'll be a big help as well. Thanks for picking me. I didn't know I would be the first one up to bat, but that's
good. All right. You're the first one up to bat.
Well, this concludes session 1 or week 1 in your Mastering the Art of Follow-Through.